This is A Course in Miracles. It is your path of enlightenment. It is your journey without distance in the space of an instant of reality. This is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. This course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear, but what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. The purpose of this workbook is to train your mind in a systematic way to a different perception of everyone and everything in the world. It is doing these exercises that will make the goal of this course possible. An untrained mind can accomplish nothing. Transfer of training in true perception does not proceed as does transfer of the training of the world. If true perception has been achieved in connection with any person, situation, or event, total transfer to everyone and everything is certain. Remember that one exception held apart from true perception makes its accomplishments anywhere impossible. The very nature of true perception is that it has no limits. It is the opposite of the way that you see now. You might as well come on in and welcome to an episode that perhaps yesterday or even early this morning was not possible. The progress that you are making in the idea that it's possible through the light and love of the resurrection of our Savior Jesus to overcome this world and realize what? That there is no death. We've, following our own revelation in our recognition of the perfection of ourselves in correspondence with the universe, been attempting on these meditative cycles of direct correspondence with God to demonstrate through the auspices of Jesus resurrected that there is no death. Early this morning I was with Jesus and we sat together and we're talking about this episode, and all of you have historic ideas about the coming of the man Jesus 2,000 years ago and all of the performances of the miracles that he brought about in you. And all of the references that you maintain in your own mind concerning, all right, his saviorship, all right, based on the fulfillment of a prophecy, that what? That there is no death. That the human condition that defined time, identity, associations of sequential natures of the aging process based on the references of this world were not true. That you knew it and your dependency was on the coming of first a messenger who probably would indicate to you that the prophecy of eternal life was about to be fulfilled, and then at last the Savior himself. And here you are watching this video, and the title of the video, based on the reclamation of the entirety of the human condition because of the action of the power of mind, is Recovering from the Disease of Death. Okay, you might as well come on in for a minute. You caught me with, are you familiar with the Christian Holy Bible? Everything that our good friend and Savior and lover, if you choose to allow him to be, says in this New Testament is that I didn't die. On a continuing basis, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, he can but demonstrate to you the certainty that you can't die either. And despite the efforts that you intend to make in regard to your determination to stay that body, it won't work. So in a particular way, he's here. He was standing to the rear, now he's come forward so that you can see the evidence of him. All right? Why? In the practice, you might as well hear this with me. Okay. Dying one. Look. Okay. Let's ask some fundamental questions about it, because I begin to share in the joy that many of you are experiencing in the recognition through your own salvation that there is no such thing as death. So you suffer from what? What do you call it? The ultimate disease? Say that to me. I suffer from the ultimate disease of death. Look, let's try it. I came here to die. Say it. You did? Say to me, everybody comes here to die. Huh? Why? Why? What's the sense in it? Huh? You almost looked at it. There's no sense in being afraid to look at it. Okay, the proclamation that has gone abroad right now is that through the saviorship of our Savior, Jesus Christ, you will not be successful at dying. The question is not that. The question is, how many times are you going to continue to attempt to defy his very simple message of love? The predetermined idea that God is only love, and therefore so are you, and the ridiculous notation that you would associate the ultimate disease of death with love is, I'm going to use a term for you now so I can offend you ones who are determined to die. Death is a quaint absurdity. It's as quaint as the idea of objective reality based on correspondences of the density of light form found in relationships of temporal mind that define the body. If you'd look at it with me for just a moment, and you were invited to come into this idea that there was an alternative based on resurrection. And you were asked to stand here with me, all right, and look at the idea of death. Now, if you haven't turned me off by now, all right, you're going to begin to see that the offering that we share in love, okay, is emergence of our objective ideas of time that will show us instantly an association that is here and now. Okay? This is the spot that you've been afraid of. Say to me, I've been afraid to die. All the time. Every move that you've made within this objective determination of form is actually what death is, or fear of death, or termination. It's a very strange idea. Where, I have to inquire about this. This is coming directly from Jesus. Okay, where we are very certain that life is eternal. And for some reason or other, you have a constitution of realization of an idea about yourself as a body and believe that you can die. Okay, so death is an idea that you have about yourself. All right, now if you've come this far, we might as well take a shot at this. All right. This will include a lesson from the Course in Miracles. There is no death. The Son of God is free. But before we do it, I need to still you down just in a moment to a point. Are you ready for what actually occurs in this meditative technique? You let death enter in. Death is an idea in your mind. All right? Say to me, I'm going to die. What do you do then? Withstand the challenges that all around you are pressing in on you, the pain and loneliness that's going to represent the idea of death. This is a fundamental teaching in the entirety of the Christian tradition. In the meditation we are about to do, you may lose your fear by inviting death to come in and be with you. Okay? It's a fundamental admission through our Savior Jesus that the power of the universe is given unto you, and the power that you employ to withstand the idea of death is exactly the same power that you will employ through offering to death, to this world, okay, the solution that you have found in your own mind. The idea that you can die is ridiculous, and I'm going to stand up with my Savior Jesus Christ and declare it. You listen, if you don't like it, that's too bad. Because if you don't like the idea that you cannot die, you will prove to me that you can. To what avail? He is risen. He has demonstrated to the entirety of this continuum of time that life is eternal and eternally joyous and happy. Yes, we're going to quiet down here just for a moment and let's use Paul. Paul of Tarsus, as you remember, is the post-resurrection apostle. He's very emphatic in his teachings that each time I get up in the morning, I decide that today is going to be the day, alive or dead. That relieves me of the burden of planning to die later on. In a particular way, I can reduce that to an hour, or a minute, Or are you ready? Right now. But I'm not dead. I stilled my mind sufficiently and I began to feel an alternative in a space-time reference that was always available to me. That's what I'm offering to you right now. Trust me with this, please. Terminal patients, those of you suffering from the idea that you're very close to death, I'm going to invite both your life and your death to walk into this parameter with me. Say, I'm terminal, I'm going to die. That's all right. Death is an idea that you have in your mind. What I want to share with you through the mind of Jesus Christ, that our Savior is an idea of life, not death. Our Savior risen is standing right next to us, offering us what? Eternal life at this time and in this place. Here's a lovely meditation that comes from him in his beautiful Course in Miracles. Let's try to use it together now in the recognition that this is the decision that we have made to ascend to our rightful place in the kingdom. This is the time and the place. Now is the time of prophecy fulfilled. Now are all ancient promises upheld and fully kept. No step remains for time to separate from its accomplishment, for now we cannot fail. Sit silently and wait upon your Father. He has willed to come to you when you have recognized it is your will that he do so. And you could never have come this far unless you saw, however dimly, that it is your will. This is from our Savior Jesus. I am so close to you, we cannot fail, Father. We give these holy times to you in gratitude to him who taught us how to leave the world of sorrow in exchange for its replacement given us by you. We look not backward now, we look ahead, and we fix our eyes upon the journey's end. Accept these little gifts of thanks from us as through Christ's vision we behold a world beyond the one that we made, and we take that world to be the full replacement of our own. This is a confession that I want to share with you in this meditation. It's the idea that we have come together in a place of death to represent ourselves in an ancient promise that we said that we would keep at this time and in this place with the certainty that we would have to come there and that we were going to need some help. Where did the help come from? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Did you think that he would abandon you at your willingness to momentarily invite death to come in with you? When in reality, he's always been with you and was only waiting for your willingness to will that it be true. Listen. And now we wait in silence, unafraid and certain of your coming. We have sought to find our way by following the guide you sent to us. We did not know the way, but you did not forget us, and we knew that you will not forget us now. We ask but that your ancient promise be kept, which are your will to keep. We will with you in asking this. The Father and the Son, whose holy will created all that is, can fail in nothing. In this certainty, we undertake these last few steps to you and resting confidence upon your love, which will not fail the Son who calls to you. That's very nice. That was a moment of an expression of eternity within your own mind. Okay. Say to me, this is an ancient promise kept. Yes. You know well the promise that was given to you when you entered into this continuum of time. A mistake was made. There has been a displacement in the place where the entirety of the resolution in the conversion from time to eternal life occurred. All of the references that you have heretofore employed have been to what? Demonstrate your capacity to live out that little sequence of time and declare this to be life. Want to try it with me? Say to me, life on this little planet, Earth, is what life is. Why? Why would this be life? Why would life be an idea of coming here in a location that apparently precludes any possibility of journey to the stars and beyond? You're left in a containment of a memory pattern that justifies a contemporary idea about your relationships in that body, where you continue to suffer the consequences of the idea of death. The particular nature of the objective association of a human condition, and I assure you that you are one, okay, has been to determine through the invention of the relationship of separation from eternal life the idea of time. Time is what death is. Okay. The time has come for you now to enter in to a place in time where the answer, who am I? Where am I? What am I doing here? Why am I here? When did I get here? Are going to be answered in one single moment of realization through the resurrection of Jesus Christ that has occurred at this time and place. When did the resurrection of Jesus occur? Say to me just now. What did he say about this to you? In his testament of certainty of his resurrection, he said very simply that having demonstrated to this world and to the universe my capacity to undergo an experience where I discover that life is eternal, and not this little idea of separation, I will remain with you until it's accomplished in you. We've taken a step that I hope will become more and more tolerable to you in the idea that through his demonstration of eternal life, you no longer have to pursue avenues of sequential time that justify your body form. The idea that I am offering you of eternal life is available to you at this time, before time was and after it's over. The idea of eternal life contained within the self-consciousness of separation is inherent in the species of man and can be demonstrated by the Son of Man as well as the Son of God represented by our Savior Jesus, who is standing next to us. So the recovery that I am offering you in the miracle of your own enlightenment, okay, is a recovery from the idea that you as a body were what life is. All right? As peculiar as that may seem to you, based on the evidence of this world where everything waxes and wanes and you come here and cyclically you die, the simple fact of the matter is that life is eternal and you are a whole part of that and have absolutely nothing to say about it. Say to me, I'm going to die. No, you're not. Say, yes, I am. Say, yes, I am, and I can prove it. Prove it. Prove it. Can you get the idea of the absurdity of death worshippers? This is from Jesus. If he has resurrected and you've admitted to his resurrection, he's also indicated that the time and place has come at last where the accomplishment of the resurrection, okay, the reconfiguration of your body is going to occur through his auspices. Why don't you just simply accept it? All right? There is no death. The basis of your scripture of reality is very simply that the time and place will come, all right, where you will see that rather than being dead, you will come alive. I'm glad you were able to stick it out with me for just a moment. And those of you, obviously, if this is a provision that Jesus is here with us now, you can decide at this time to enter into this new continuum where you will begin to have experiences of enlightenment, which are the direct teachings of Jesus Christ. You are experiencing moments of being born again through the death process. And each time you die, as Paul carried on with that, wanted to tell you that today is the day where he says, I die daily, and in my death is my continuing rebirth. We'll be back. I'm glad you stuck it out. We're going to do some revelatory reassociations of eternal life in just a moment. Remember that God goes with us wherever we go, because God is the mind with which we think, and we're going to think together right now that there is no death. And we can say together, God bless us, everyone. This is A Course in Miracles. It is your path of enlightenment. It is your journey without distance in the space of an instant of reality. I'm not certain you're entirely happy about the prospects of life being eternal. Jesus is here with us, incidentally. Everything that I'm offering you is directly from his scripture. He's very certain that the attitudes of divisional mind and associations of conflict and death that you call life are absurd. And as you undergo the experience that he is offering you, they become more and more absurd to you. You've forgotten one very fundamental premise of the entirety of his teaching in my offering that you can't die. And that is very simply that the idea of death is a decision that you have made. And the approbation of the declarations of this world that you need get old and sick and die make absolutely no sense if you'll take the time to look at it with me. This, of course, is from the mind of Jesus. What did you need? You needed an enlightened mind, which in the fundamental idea could not be yours, since there is only one mind. So your willingness to stand for a moment and actually look at the idea, all right, that you might be able to suddenly awaken from this dream of death, have brought you to these particulars. So we want to assure you, scripturally, from Jesus, that the power to make that decision is yours. Okay? We're going to look at it real quickly and let you measure the words in regard to what you're willing to hear. Listen. So here's Jesus speaking. Verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for what things soever he doth, those also doth the Son likewise. That was pretty simple. He says that anything that God can do, you can do too. Does that offend you? Of course it does, because you believe in the actions of the possibility of pain and loneliness and conflict, and you therefore believe that God can also perform them, and that's absurd. The offering of Jesus is that God is only love, and it's going to say here that he knows not of your conflict. All right, you might as well listen to it. For the Father loveth the Son, and he shows him all things that himself doeth, and he'll show him greater works than these, that you can marvel. For goodness sake, the workings of the mind, of the conversion, of the idea that you're in this little place, are nothing but demonstrations of the power of the mind of God, of which you cannot not be a whole part. Oh, did you know that that's what that said? All right. He's going to show you greater things than you could ever imagine, because the ratio of your conceptual correspondence is so small that you may have moments of joy, but they're always based on what? Death. So you lose the things that you love, not through God's power, but through your own power that you think you can use to deny the entirety of his will. Listen to what he says. For as a father raises up the dead and quicketh them, even so the Son quicketh whom he will. Did you like that idea? You want to practice it with me? This is directly from Jesus. He's representing to you the certainty that all the power is given to you in this world as well as in heaven. And it's perfectly possible for you to remember at this moment that in that power you can heal all the sick ones that are out there, including inviting them to come to a place of death life, and that he will be with you in the auspices of eternal life through forgiveness in the remembrance of the entirety of our sojourn into time. All right, let's look at it just a moment. The eternal creating reality that is the universe does not judge. You want to see it before I read it to you? Can I say to you that our eternal loving Father does not judge you? May I offer to you my certainty that he created you perfectly in the love that you share with him and with the people that are around you? Will you entertain the idea that reasonably a totally loving, creating God would not know of this place of terror and death, and that the decision to look anew through the power of Jesus' mind is yours to make? What does it say? For the Father judgeth no man, there it is, but hath committed judgment to you, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. And he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. You ready for what this is going to say? I want you to object to it. I don't care. I have a responsibility that I gave to Jesus in my resurrection, in my recollection of the entirety to me, that I would assume this role of attempting to teach you what you're afraid of hearing. What you're afraid of hearing is that the moment you actually enter in to the idea of death, you are resurrected, and that our Savior has already undergone the experience of death to show you that death does not exist. Do you believe that? I might as well question you right now. You there, whatever you think you are, you call yourself a Christian perhaps, I'm not even concerned about that. I am concerned that you declare within your own association of mine that there is no death and allow for a procedure that can be demonstrated to you at this time. Okay? What does it say? Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me already has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Here, if you believe what I'm telling you right now, you have already overcome death because you have. All right? The idea of the resurrection through the mind of Jesus Christ is your solution to your unsolvable problem. And it's going on here and now because this is the time that you chose to allow it to occur. So your requirement is simply that you believe it, that you want it to be true, that you wish it were true, that you can share eternal life through the dedication to seek a solution not contained within your own formulation. Now he deals with time, just a moment. Same as I want you to do in this time and place. Listen. Verily I say to you that the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. How about that? This is the time and place you can hear it. Okay, who can you hear it from? Anyone that you're willing to listen to. It's impossible that the Son of Man is not being told by all of the formulations of his mind that justify his continuation of death, that the entirety of the offering is not available to him through the resurrection of Jesus. And those that did hear at this time and place are what? Gone from here. Okay? Remember that nothing is by accident. You've come to a time and place to represent the entirety of your awakening from this idea of death that has already occurred. Jesus, the time will come and did. I'm showing you a new parameter of the association of space-time that is immediately available to you. Let's finish this. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. So you have the power to make a decision right now within this framework of time identity. Okay. Through the sharing of an instant of an idea of eternal life that is available to you through the whole mind of Jesus to decide at this time, I'm not going to die anymore. Okay? Shall we say it together? Say that to me. I'm sick and tired of this place. Do you say it? I'm tired of not being able to find a solution within the frame of time. I'm tired of not knowing the reason why I would be here. I'm tired of having to acknowledge that everyone comes here, comes with the idea within his own time mind that he must die in order to fulfill some sort of an agreement that he made within the procedure of the limitations of his own consciousness mind. It won't work. So where are we now in the practice? We're in the practice of allowing ourselves to come to the time and place where the decision has already been made to leave here. Okay. That decision contained all of the ordeal that you have gone through and are going through now in your attempts to justify the time and place that you're in. Finding, as most of you have now who are watching us together here with Jesus, that there is no apparent reason for being here, that all of the roads of this place have led only to death, you have decided to wait for a moment for an alternative that has always been available to you. That's the process of the resurrecting mind that I am offering you through an admonition from Jesus, that you can heal the sick and raise the dead. Okay? Let's look at it together. First of all, from the power of will that you have, and then from your idea about what death is. First, listen to the power of your mind. No one can suffer loss unless it be his own decision. No one suffers pain except his choice elects this state for him. No one can grieve, nor fear, nor think him sick unless these are the outcomes that he wants. And no one dies without his own consent. Did you hear that? Nothing occurs but represents your wish, and nothing is omitted that you choose. Here is your world, complete in all details, and it is here your whole reality is, and it is only here that salvation is. This is exactly the scripture, this is from A Course in Miracles. This is exactly the scripture that I just read you from John, that says that the decision is yours to make in regard to whether you'd rather serve the auspices of this world or decide that you don't want it anymore. All I want to assure you of is that death, the idea of death, is a decision that you have made in your own mind. And it's very persevering in you, because all of the goals that you seek and find are based on death. Now, what are you afraid of by the mind of Jesus? Jesus, who is resurrected, threatens you with the loss of death. Why? Because death is a decision that you have made, and it takes many forms. Listen to this. So there is no death, and the Son of God is free. So death is a thought that takes on many forms, often unrecognized. Why? It may appear as sadness, fear, anxiety, or doubt, or anger, or faithlessness, or lack of trust, or concern for the body, envy, and all the forms in which the wish to be as you are not may come to tempt you. All such thoughts are but reflections of the worshiping of death as Savior and as a giver of relief. In a particular sense, every thought that you have as a human being justifies the idea that you can get lonely and can die. How can we overcome death? Okay, by using what is available to you in the healing practices of the mind of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He offers you a place and time where the solution to the idea of your temporal location, okay, and the purpose for it can be resolved. So the offering of this video, and I would begin to replay it, if you will, because I'm going to take some time now and offer you an invitation to come, okay, with Jesus, okay, representing you into a place in time where all of the conflict of what we just described is going on. Anxiety, fear, loss, revenge, the nature of the conceptual mind that has refused to forgive the fundamental idea that God is love. What has to happen? You must come to that place and have the experience, okay, of the love of God that will be present at this time. Is this a death experience? Yes. It's the place that you have avoided in your continuing temptation, that the problem of the purpose in this world can be solved through death. this is from Jesus now, because I want to direct it directly to you. The ordeal that you are experiencing as a human being is precisely and exactly the same ordeal that our Savior Jesus underwent at the time of his crucifixion and resurrection. All right? Death is a particularly lonely occurrence. Those of you who have shared many deaths with me, and there are many of you now who have, within a time cycle, have had death experiences, and we've shared them together. Okay, some of them rather joyously, some of them painfully, but all of them at the final moment in the realization of the isolation of ourselves as separate from what eternal life is. And this is the loneliness and desolation and isolation that is so beautifully described in the scripture of the attitude that Jesus carried with him into Gethsemane, having performed to the best of his knowledge the offership of his saviorship to the world, only to see the world in a complete disillusion, deny him and attack him and finally kill him. So we're entered into that relationship now. You remember this. He is risen. Okay, this is the garden, isn't it? And all of the sorrow and pain and loneliness that you have found within your own mind and in the inability to discover the true love that you want have finally brought you to this time and place. This is the place of death, because in the place of death is where eternal life resides for the moment in its necessity to convert the nature of the idea of space-time to eternal life. So, here we are. Jesus is here with us, isn't he? I'm going to heal you from death. But you're going to have to come and stand with me just for a moment and begin to feel, as you search within your own mind, the fear that will come to you just for that moment, isn't it? Well, it is fear. This is the time and place that you had to come to when you were ready. What does it involve? The idea of the conversion of your mind from the restriction imposed within the light to the idea of eternal life that's all around you. What does it have to do with your body? Not anything. It's just a momentary reconfiguration of your body as directed by the teaching of Jesus, that will for that moment place your body in a position of the recognition of salvation through resurrection. Okay? This is the experience that's so beautifully described in the idea of the crucifixion of Jesus. First he asked for the help in the garden, and what? Their silence. He says, God, I'd appreciate it if you'd remove this burden. Okay? There is no answer. The answer has already been given him. Yet somewhere, as you may appear to do now, you come to this final place and still want to know why you're here. The answer is, why you are here is to be here and now, and recognize through your own resurrection that this world was over and gone a long time ago. So this is the place where we've come together now, haven't we? It began with us healing the idea of your body. The refurbishing has occurred. Look at me. I'm standing in the full vitality of the certain of the conversion of our body form, representing to you eternal life through Jesus. There he is. There he is. I see him begin to emerge and grow within your own mind. And suddenly, he's fully grown standing next to you. Now, how do I greet you as I welcome you in? I started to welcome you as death. I started to welcome you with the idea that you were a human being and were going to come and represent death to me. You can't come into the parameter of the eternity of life through the illumination of Jesus and represent death. Because if you've been willing to accept the fundamental idea of the conversion through your rebirth, you will undergo an illuminated experience and disappear from here. Okay, let's look differently at it for a moment now, because we have forgiven the world. All right? We are going to forgive the idea of all that pain and death, call on God through the mind of Jesus, and disappear from this place. Forgive, and you will disappear from here. Forgive your enemy. Come together in the certainty of Jesus, and we'll enter the kingdom together. So you're resurrected. And this video, the idea of this video, was the idea that you could be healed from death. And you are. And you are whole. No, you want to walk out when you leave here, walk out into the world again. But walking with you is going to be the Christ. Why? You invited him to. He has accepted your invitation to show you a new continuum of time where you can be certain that this old place of death is long past. Thank you for allowing me to assume the certainty of my uncompromising determination that through his saviorship and his presence with us now, that death was impossible. And all of the ordeal that we underwent is now worth it. Our dues have indeed been paid, and salvation is at hand. As we say together, God goes with us wherever we go, because God has been the mind that we have been using. And standing now together with our Savior, we say together, God bless us. Everyone. He is risen.